PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome again to another edition of the program. It's very nice to have you with me. And as the opening for today's show was playing, I was kind of wishing that today was actually April the 1st. Because I actually thought of a very interesting April Fool's joke. Now, part of me was thinking just now, maybe I should tell you what the joke was. And then I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. Because sometime in the future, when April the 1st falls on a Sunday, then we can actually do it. So, if you can guess what it is, well, you let me know. But I'm certainly not going to talk about it on today's program. Now, some of you may be thinking, that is the April Fool's joke, by making the audience think there was one. But no, there wasn't. Now you could be saying to yourself, well, you're just saying that. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Do you think I would do such a thing? Maybe. No, but anyway, putting all the silliness aside, no, there actually was something that I did plan to do, but I thought, you know, let's keep it for something else. Let's keep it for a rainy day. Or, as I just said, a day when the show actually falls on April 1st. Okay, nice to have you with me today. Yes, I am extremely happy, only because the weather's been absolutely beautiful, and I've been outside a lot, doing a lot of cycling, and all kinds of other things. And some of you who are listening right now are aware that I also dabble in television. Well, I still can't say it yet. I want to, but I can't say it right now. Actually, it's a big story. Well, big news for me anyway. Some people know. Some of the people listening right now know. Others don't. As much as I want to, I just still can't say yet. But I will keep that for the future, okay? We'll just keep that for the future. Anyway, let's begin with REM and Drive here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International.
Smash, smash, crack, bush, whack, tie another one to the racks. Rock and roll. Nobody tells you where to go, baby. What if I ride? What if you walk? What if you rock around the clock? Tip, 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 tip. What if you did? What if you walk? Try to get on, baby. Hey, kid, where are you? Nobody tells you what to do, baby. Hey, kid, shake a leg. Maybe you're crazy. Yeah.
REM and Drive here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Coming up in a little while, we're going to have a tribute to a legendary British comedian who passed away this week. And I think you know who I mean. He was one half of the two Ronnies, not Ronnie Barker. He's been dead for quite some time. But Ronnie Corbett, the shorter one, who passed away at age 85. We're going to have that in a little bit. Now, every now and again, we will play long pieces of music by request. And actually, this is one that I've actually wanted to play for quite some time. This is a recording of a piece of music that is known internationally. It is known internationally because for decades, it was used as the sig tune for the BBC program Top Gear. Now, if the new crew of Top Gear, which is led by Chris Evans, will continue to use it, well, we can't say right now. But here it is. The Top Gear theme performed by the original group themselves, the Allman Brothers, and it's actually called Just Jessica. Not Just Jessica, it's just called Jessica. Jessica, the Allman Brothers. And that's a track, of course, that's known to be the sig tune for the BBC series Top Gear. All right. Now, this week, before coming into the studio to record the program on a Friday, which is unusual for us, we discovered that the legendary British comedian Ronnie Corbett passed away at age 85. For many years, Ronnie Corbett was teamed up with Ronnie Barker, and they did a series of programs that began in 1970 until the 1980s called The Two Ronnies. That was a top-rated BBC program. And of course, their Christmas specials are also very well known. The show was syndicated to many countries around the world. But Ronnie Barker was more than just The Two Ronnies. In the 1960s, he performed with John Cleese on a program that was called At Last, The 1948 Show. He also appeared in the James Bond spoof, Casino Royale, and of course a lot of other cinematic roles as well. He also had his own television series called Sorry. And then a few years ago, he did a special for BBC called The One Ronnie. Because, of course, Ronnie Barker died a number of years ago. It was called The One Ronnie and brought together him as well as a cast of some very well-known British comedians. Now, the material of The Two Ronnies was absolutely fantastic. And when I found out about his death, I went into my LP collection. And I found an LP from BBC Enterprises that featured some tracks, the audio of which is taken from their television series, The Two Ronnies. Now, we're going to have two for you right now. First, actually, it's Ronnie Barker and Ronnie Corbett together in a sketch that is really funny. It's a really good play on words, which they were really, really good at doing. And I was trying to choose one that wasn't too difficult in case anybody who's listening to the program may not have English as their second language. And this one is, I think it's borderline. Let's just say it's borderline. Now, at one time, there was a very, and actually it's still on today, a very popular British quiz program called Mastermind that was hosted by Magnus Magnusson. And this show had been spoofed by a number of comedians, Morecambe and Wise, Benny Hill, and of course, the Two Ronnies. Well, here they are spoofing Mastermind.
And so to our first contender. Good evening. Your name, please.
Good evening.
Your chosen subject was answering questions before they were asked. This time, you have chosen to answer the question before last each time. Is that correct?
Charlie Smithers.
And your time starts now. What is paleontology?
Yes, absolutely correct.
What's the name of the directory that lists members of the peerage?
A study of old fossils.
Who are Len Murray and Sir Geoffrey Howe?
Burks.
Correct. What is the difference between a donkey and an ass?
One's a trade union leader, the other's a member of the cabinet.
Complete the quotation, to be or not to be?
They're both the same.
Correct. What is Bernard Manning famous for?
That is the question.
Correct. Who is the present Archbishop of Canterbury?
He is a fat man who tells blue jokes.
What do people kneel on in church?
The Right Reverend Robert Runciman.
What do tarantulas prey on?
Hassocks.
What would you use a ripcord to pull open?
Large flies.
What sort of a person lived in Bedlam?
A parachute.
Correct. What is a jockstrap?
A nutcase.
For what purpose would a decorator use methylene chlorides?
A form of athletic support.
Correct. What did Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec do?
Paint strippers.
Who is Dean Martin?
He's a kind of artist.
Yes, what sort of artist?
Pass.
That's near enough. What make of vehicle is the standard London bus?
A Singer.
Correct. In 1892, Brandon Thomas wrote a famous long-running English farce. What was it?
British Leyland.
Correct. Complete the following quotation. I started, so I finished. Complete the following quotation about Mrs. Thatcher Her heart may be in the right place, but her...
Charlie's aunt.
Correct.
Ronnie Barker and Ronnie Corbett at their best with the Mastermind sketch taken from their legendary BBC television series. Another thing that Corbett was known for during the series is he would do a monologue. And it would be one of those monologues that would kind of begin, and then it would kind of get garbled all over the place. Then you had to wait to the end for the punchline, but there was a lot of silliness in between. Here's one of my personal favorites.
Thank you. Tonight I'd like, if I may, to tell you a brand new cricketing joke, which has never been heard before. Actually, when I say it's never been heard before, that's not entirely true. let's be honest. This joke is so old, it was found buried with the Dead Sea Scrolls. As was the comedian who just told it. It actually dates back to 256 BC, which, as scholars of ancient Egypt will know, was the year of the famous wildcat strike by the amalgamated union of eunuchs and allied sopranos in a dispute over severance pay. Incidentally, since the last show, I'd like to thank all those of you who have written in with suggestions about what I can do with my act. And the one or two of you who sent diagrams. Offers of work have been flooding in. Last week I was invited to go on a round-the-world cruise by the chairman of the Flat Earth Society. This week I was asked to do a very important after-dinner speech. I said, do you want me to be funny? They said, no, just be yourself. It was actually rather a swish do being held to commemorate 50 years of the BBC canteen. And it was very, very moving. You're making jokes up there. Yeah, it was rather moving. I mean, some of the original sausage rolls were there. brought a lump to many throats. And it took me back to my own early career in the catering trade, when I was a lift boy and a dumb waiter. As I say, it was a very formal occasion. It was a very, very formal occasion, but somebody for a joke had told me it was fancy dress. So there we all are, the Director General, the Chairman of the BBC, the Governors, you know, all standing around in their smart suits and dinner jackets, and I'm trying to act casual, dressed as Bo Peep. With my glass of sherry in one hand and my crook in the other. I remember thinking it was actually the first fancy dress party I'd been to since May the 10th, 1975. Now, I remember that day clearly, because it was the one day when there wasn't a sale at Allied Carpets. on that occasion, that fancy dress party, I put on tin legs from a suit of armour and went as a pair of nutcrackers. Out, come on. To be honest, it was the usual low-budget affair, this dinner, hosted by a repeat of Terry Wogan. And it was four hours before the BBC cheese board arrived. They held a meeting and decided we couldn't have any cheese. I seem to have wandered off the point. I was going to tell you this joke about a small country cricket team that is in the doldrums. Now, don't ask me which part of the doldrums. I think it was the northern part. Anyway, I spent a couple of weeks myself there last summer, in the northern doldrums. And it was a bit of a mistake from the word go, actually. We were staying at a friend's cottage, and the heating system was a bit temperamental. When we got there, it was snowing in the airing cupboard. The rising damp was so bad, the mice were punting around in mouse traps. The doctor had told me to take a break, because he said I'd been overworking. And I suppose I have been taking on rather a lot recently, to be honest. I have to look. I have been very, very active in our local pressure group, Short Comedians Against Bo Derek. It beats personal stereo any day. But to be honest, I don't put a lot of trust in my doctor's judgment these days. My wife asked him if he'd got something for a creaky hip joint, and he gave her two tickets for Ronnie Scott's. I digress. digress. Back to the joke. About this local cricket team. Now, they are one Sunday afternoon going through a bit of a rough patch in this game. And the chairman of the club, decides after the match he'll put an advert in the local paper. Batsperson wanted. See, batsperson wanted. Ability to hit the ball, an advantage. Apply, blah, 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 etc., etc., etc. Well, a month goes by, and there's no response of any kind, and the chairman thinks, I wonder if I should put our name and address in. Instead of the blah, 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 etc., etc., etc. Well, it can make a difference. And just as he's thinking this, there's a knock on his office door, and in walks a horse. And the horse casually pulls up a chair, sits down, lights a cigarette, and says, I understand you're looking for some new players, says. And I'm a bit posh, actually, this horse. I wonder if I put my services at your disposal. The chairman says to him, but you're a horse. And the horse said, I know. Because he's not stupid, this horse. He said, but I am rather nifty with the old willow, he says. And the least you can do is give me a trial, old bean. So they go down to the nets, and sure enough, the horse plays some strokes. You know, very good strokes, making Ian Botham look like a fly swatter. And the chairman is so impressed, he signs him up. And the following weekend, the horse is put in as the opening bat. Out he strides to the crease, in his shin pads, in his gloves, you know. And his horse box. And in the very first over, it smashes every delivery clean out of the stadium. Six after six after six. And the club's regular supporters are astounded. And so are you, by the sound of it. And both have to be treated for shock. Then comes the second over, and the first ball, the other batsman, at the other end, plays a fluke hook shot and starts racing up the pitch to snatch the quick single, see? But to his astonishment, the horse doesn't move, just stands there, motionless. And the batsman shouts, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, run, run, for God's sake, run. And the horse says, run? Do me a favour, he said. If I could run, I'd be at bloody Epsom.
The legendary Ronnie Corbett with one of his most memorable monologues taken from the Two Ronnies show. And Ronnie Corbett passed away this week at age 85. All right, you are listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. And people are saying, people have said to me before, well, he passed away. Maybe he should be a little bit more serious. And I'm like, really, honestly, do you think Ronnie Corbett would just not love everybody just laughing at the material that he did? I mean, any comedian would, right? So that was our little tribute to the legendary Ronnie Corbett. All right, time now for music. Here's Elvis Presley and Mystery Train.
Well, that long black train got my baby and gone. Train, train, coming round, round the bend. Train, train, coming round the bend. Baby, but it never will again. No, not again. Train, train, coming down the line. Train, train, coming down the line. Well, it's bringing my baby. She's my all mine, she's my all mine. Train, train,
Mystery Train, Elvis Presley. A number of years ago, Warner Music in France started to release a whole series of CDs of unusual soundtracks. The kind of soundtracks that were from popular films and television series, maybe that had never been released before. And the releases were chosen depending on who the composer was. For example, there's one of Ennio Morricone, Lalo Schifrin, and a couple from Quincy Jones. Now, most people who are big fans of music are quite familiar with Quincy Jones. He had his own orchestra in the late 1950s and 1960s and 70s that was made up of some of the best studio jazz musicians you could find anywhere. He was also the head of A&R for Mercury Records in the United States for a very long time, studied in France and worked for a label in France for a long time, and then was a very well-known arranger and producer for the likes of Frank Sinatra to Michael Jackson and almost everybody in between. This is taken from a film that he scored and wrote the music for. It's called Dollars, and it starred the German actor Gert Forbes and Goldie Hawn. We're going to listen to one of the tracks from here, which is the theme and score, Brooks' 50 Cent Tour.
Money's on my mind. Thank you.
Quincy Jones with some of the music from the movie Dollars that was issued on CD for the very first time. This series that I was just mentioning also includes Jerry Fielding, Jerry Goldsmith, two different Jerrys, Michel Legrand, Alex North, Lalo Schifrin, Rye Coder, and of course Ennio Morricone, Eric Weisenberg, and Steve Mandel. And the music, of course, is taken from some very, very well-known films, like the one we just heard, Dollars. The other movies include Outland, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, The Eagle Has Landed, Deliverance, and many others. If you do see it around, do pick it up. They are quite fascinating. In some cases, what they did is they even re-recorded the music with new musicians. And give it a whole different sound. Alrighty then. The other day I came across an interview that I did back, 10 years ago, with a band that was visiting Beijing and performed in Beijing and Shanghai. It's a band called Linkin Park, and they had two sold-out shows. Here they are with Somewhere I Belong.
Myself.
Linkin Park and Somewhere I Belong here on your program Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. We still have a few minutes left to squeeze in one more piece of music, and we're going to do so. It's of Glenn Miller and his orchestra with some of my favorite sessions that he did that were recorded at the Abbey Road Studios in London between 1944 and his death in 1945 when he went missing somewhere over the English Channel. And this is his Air Force Band, which I have to say was probably the best band that he had, much better than his swing band that he had in the 1930s. And many cases, he actually re-recorded some of those early hits, but using the Abbey Road Studios and some really hot musicians of the day brought a whole new life to them. These were recordings that were made especially for radio broadcast to Germany. Here's Glenn Miller with Great Day. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.